Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of part one of developing intimacy through a love relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part one of developing intimacy through a love relationship.
Of intimacy with God. And this series has taken us a long way. You know, we've been talking about how to be more intimate with God. We started out by saying that you have to have a thirst for God. We said that you have to search for God. We said that you have to know God. We said you have to meet the qualifications to be intimate with God. We said there has to be some time in meditation. There has to be some time in listening. And today we have come to the point where we want to talk about how do you develop a love relationship with God? How can we have an intimate, personal love relationship with the God of the universe? I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And then we're going to turn after that to Song of Solomon chapter 2. So if you'll turn to Psalm 104, and in Psalm 104 and verse 34, in the King James, the psalmist said, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." My meditation of him shall be sweet. Now, this word sweet actually has to be connected in order for us to get the gist of what I want to say. And in the Song of Solomon, we read about a love relationship between Solomon and his bride. And they had a deep, abiding, personal, and intimate relationship. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 14, we read these words. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 14. "Oh, my dove, who art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." And so we see here, if we were to read the Song of Solomon, and at one time, people doubted whether the Song of Solomon should actually be in the Bible because they said it was too exotic. It was too sensual. And so for the longest time, they debated whether it should be in there or not. But the councils who discovered the inspiration of the scripture felt that this was a perfect illustration of a love relationship between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife. And so this book is rich with relationship and intimacy and love and bonding and oneness. And so here we read that their relationship consisted of this whole idea of sweetness, this intimacy. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 104, verse 34, "My meditations of him. Who is him? The Lord. My meditations of the Lord shall be sweet. Because you see, God and myself, we're in an intimate relationship. We're in a love relationship. And so as I sit back and I think about my God, as I sit back and think about my Lord, that my meditations of him are just like an individual who is head over heels over another person. Somebody that has been smitten by Cupid's arrow is sick with love. And the psalmist says, I'm in a love relationship with my God. Today I want to talk about this love relationship. And any love relationship that we see is always two ways. That there is love coming from both entities in the relationship. And so today I want to look at what does it mean when it says that God loves us? And what does it mean when we say that we love God? And that from this point that we would seek this relationship so that we might grow in our faith and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A book by Dick Eastman entitled The Hour That Changes the World. We studied that book here on Wednesday. It's a book on prayer. And there was an elderly lady, and she was asked how she spent her days. And this is how she responded. Well, I always begin my day with a good season of prayer. In fact, I pray until I can't pray anymore. Then I take my Bible and read it until I can't read anymore. After that, I take my hymn book from the shelf and I sing until I can't sing anymore. Then I just sit quietly and let God love me. Like that. I like that. I read until I can't read anymore. I pray until I can't pray anymore. I sing until I can't sing anymore. And then I just sit quietly and let God love me. When was the last time you sat quietly and just let God love on you? You see, we are missing an intimate part of our relationship when we fail to bask in the sunshine of God's love. We need to move past this surface level communication, and we need to move into deep personal intimacy with God. We need to be able to come to God and sit in his presence and hear God say, I love you. I love you. But how does God love us? First and foremost, how does God love us? In Ephesians 3:19, you don't have to turn there, but it says that God's love passes all human understanding. That you can't understand what is the depth and the width and the height and the breadth of the love of God. You can't begin to scratch the surface on what God's love is like. Even my attempts today to explain it to you would be utterly futile. But as we look at it, one of the greatest verses, and I'm going to break this verse down for us here this morning, on the love of God, is one that we all know. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For a second this morning, I want to grapple with what that really means. As we think about the love of God, God says that he loves us every day. Every day, God lets us know that he loves us. There was a man and a lady had been married for years, and the man hadn't told the lady in a long time that he loved her. And she was a little upset, and so she expressed it to him. She said, you know, how come you don't tell me that you love me? And the man said, on the day that we got married, I told you that I loved you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. Isn't it good that God didn't tell us when we got saved, and he didn't tell us any more after that. Every day we have a love letter from God. When we think about what Christ has done for us, when we think about Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, that is God saying every day, I love you. In John 3:16, how God loves us. We see the initiation, the immeasurability, the incredibility, the imputation, the impartiality, and the invincibility. First and foremost, we look at the initiation. For God, God took the initiative. We were looking for love in all the wrong places. And God took the initiative to love us. This was not something that originated within us. This is not something that sprung from our heart. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us over and over again that we would not even seek God. The Bible says that our heart is wicked and desperately evil. God took the initiative for God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. We can't even begin to think about the depth of God's love. That again, what Paul said, he said it's beyond human understanding. But let us try to, with our feeble minds and in this brief outline that I put together, try to wrap our mind around what it means for God to love us. It means, first of all, that he took the initiative. Secondly, so loved. That word so is a qualifying word. It means that it's something that is inexpressible. So, he so loved the world. The immeasurability of God's love. That somebody said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Oh, I heard the songwriter say, wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the wonderful grace of Jesus. Praise his holy name. That his grace, his love is immeasurable. It has no beginning and it has no end. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his, look at this, great love, wherewith he loved us. Oh, let us begin to scratch the surface on the love of God for us today. For God so loved the world, the incredibility of God's love. It's incredible to think that a holy God would love a world filled with sinners. That's incredible. That's just think about some of the worst things that you have done. And God loves you in spite of that. That his love is incredible. In Romans chapter 5 in verse 8, but God commended, that word commended actually means demonstrated, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And people have questioned God's love. They have said, how could a God of love allow many things that are going wrong in the world to happen? How could he allow people to be persecuted? How can he allow tragedies to happen? And yet and still, as we question God's love, all we need to do, as I said earlier, is look back to Calvary. That this life is only temporal. And no matter what happens in this life, it'll soon be past. This life will be over one day. But we will live in eternity somewhere. And God loves us so much that he was not just thinking about the temporary, But God was thinking about the eternal. And he wants us to spend eternity with him. God's love is incredible. That he gave his only begotten son. This is the imputation of God's love. What is the imputation? That God gave his son for sinners, and thereby we received his righteousness. Wow. Wow. What an exchange. How many people will go for that deal right there? You give me $1 million and I'll give you a pair of old raggedy shoes. How many people will go for that deal? One. We got one. All right. We got one that will go for that one. I wouldn't go for it. But yet and still, what a awesome thought to think that God would give his son to die on the cross for our sin. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. That whosoever believeth in him, the impartiality of God's love. God loves all people and does not favor one person over another. God is not the God of this race or that race. God is not the God of this class or that class. God loves all people equally. And as we think about that, that's something that man can't do. That's something that we ourselves can't do. I don't think there's a person here that could sit and say they love everybody equally. Now, you might love everybody, but you don't love everybody equally. There are some people you love more than others. But God loves everybody the same. That whosoever believeth in him, the impartiality, for God so loved the world. And then we see the invincibility of God's love. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is indestructible. Those who are recipients of it will never be separated from the love of God. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it said, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Paul put it like this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How does God love me? And so as I begin in this love relationship with God, as the lady said, sometime I just need to sit in God's presence and just let him love me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just let God love on you. Feel the sweetness. The psalmist said that my meditations of him shall be sweet. But we can go on and talk about what are some ways that God loves us. How does he show his love for us? And I don't have time to read the whole thing this morning, so I just put it up here on the screen. But if I would challenge you. I shared with the people at the Master's Kitchen on Friday. I shared from Psalm 103, and I told them, go home and read Psalm 103 for the next week. Just read it every day. It'll take you about 2 minutes to read it. And that lets you know ways that God shows his love for us. The psalmist began the psalm by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgiveness. He heals, who forgives all thy iniquities. Healing, who healeth all thy diseases. I'm talking about the benefits of God now. The redemption, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. The provision, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The justice, The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Even this, the revelation that God shares with you, the things that he has in store for you. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And then we see his grace and his mercy. As we look at his grace and mercy, for the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, neither rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression. Somebody said, how come he didn't say the north and the south? Because I've been told that if you travel north long enough, you'll start to go south. And if you travel south long enough, you'll start to go north. So at some point, north and the south meet. God says, I've taken your sins so far away from you that you'll never meet up with them again. As far as the east, as long as you travel east, you'll always be going east. As long as you travel west, you'll always be going west. God said, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. Jeremiah said that he's buried our sin in the deepest sea. And I heard somebody said and posted a sign which said, no fishing. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed your sins from you. Like a father pities his child, so the Lord pitied them that trust him, for he knows our frame. He knows our frame. He knows that we are broke down sinners. He knows that we are lost and we are undone. He knows that within us there's very little goodness. He knows our frame. And he remembers, because he's the one that created us, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone. We are here today, gone tomorrow. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. How much does God? See, I just gave you two glimpses. There's so much more that we can get into when we talk about God loving us. But I just wanted to whet your appetite today. John 3:16. Psalms 103. Just sit before the Lord. And as the lady said, let him love on you. Let God love on you. And as I read these verses that tell me about God's love, that I take that as God saying to me, I love you. I love you. So there's no question about his love for me. What about me? I am to love God. Look at Psalm 18 in verse 1. So we've looked at God loving us and how we can let God love us. Now, how can we love God? How can we?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 1 of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Part 1 of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.